Okay, we're going to get started now. I'm just going to mute everyone. I hope that's okay. No hard feelings. Feel free to jump in if you have something to say. Of course, that's fine. And we'll be using the chat a little bit if we have questions. Tonight's shiur is on the topic of Zmiros of Shabbos. Tonight's shiur, again, should be a continued Rav Shlomo for Rabbi Michael Myers. Besoch Shar Chole Yisrael. What I want to do is talk about three things, Mirtz Hashem. First, we're going to talk about maybe the chashivus, the makor, the source of singing Zmiros on Shabbos, number one. Number two, we're going to talk about whether or not one is allowed to say Shem Hashem in the context of Zmiros on Shabbos, right? Like Chaz de Hashem ki lo samnu, right? And the Zayom Asa Hashem Nagidu b'nesmachabo, all the different times Shem Hashem comes up in the context of Zmiros. Are we allowed to say Shem Shemayim in the context of Zmiros? And then the third one is maybe we'll get into the issues of Kol Isha, when men and women are sitting around a Shabbos table, should women be singing together with the men? So those are the three primary issues we'll be dealing with. And almost everything we're going to say tonight is from the Sefer Hakona Olamo. My Rebbe Rav Aryeh Leibowitz is in Chicago. I think it was last week? I don't even remember. I think it was last week, yeah. And it was so great. It was such a schus to have him, and not just to have him in Chicago, but more specifically, he actually stayed at our house for Shabbos, which is a tremendous privilege for my family and for myself. I felt a little bit bad for my wife because I was, you know, a little bit MIA over the course of Shabbos, trying to follow Rabbi Leibowitz as much as possible. But it was really special, and he brought as a gift, he published his third Sefer, Hakon Olamo, on the topics of Shabbos. And in the context, Simon Yud Dalet is all about Zmiros Shabbos. So a lot of what we're going to say tonight is from his Sefer. Now, before we get into the halacha, I want to share one idea on the Zmiros. When I was in the YU Kola, someone actually suggested to me. I didn't end up doing this, but it's a fun idea. Someone said I should give a shiur on Zmiros of Shabbos. Meaning, and everyone every week can come with their own bencher, you know, and you can kind of like write in the margin, things like that, the different notes on the shiur, and it's like a cool way to kind of connect to the Zmiros that we're familiar with on the, you know, on Shabbos. It didn't end up materializing, but there is a lot of literature. There's a lot of literature on the Zmiros. Rav Asher Weishlita has a whole sefer, a fat sefer on the Zmiros. Apparently, I've heard people quote that that's his favorite sefer that he's ever written, was on the Zmiros of Shabbos. Rav Meilich Biederman has a sefer, and there are others who have svarim on explaining the Zmiros. But either way, nonetheless, Rav Mordechai Willig, one of the Rosh Yeshiva in YU, has a sefer on Brachos and a sefer on Shabbos. Now, in the Hakdam, in the introduction, I think it's the one on Shabbos, he has really a beautiful, beautiful idea. Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky, we'll start with this. Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky has a well-known idea in his Sefer Emes LeYaakov at the beginning of Parshas Bamidbar. At the beginning of Parshas Bamidbar, we know that the Torah recounts kind of the camp of Klal Yisrael and how everyone encamped in the Midbar and where the different Shvatim all camped out. And everything was around the Mishkan. Everything was around the Torah. And what he asks is, why is it that we waited so long to count the Jewish people, and not just count the Jewish people, but more specifically, talk about where they are camped in the Midbar, right? Because after all, we were in the Midbar for 40 years. It would make sense that right at the beginning, we go out, you see us Mitzrayim, we get the Torah, and boom, you know, why don't we just talk about where we're camping right then and there? You have to go through not just, you know, Bo B'Shalach Yisro, go through all of Vayikra until you get to Bamidbar, and only now we learn about the encampment of the Jewish people. So Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky says, is that at that point, once we were in the Midbar and we had the Mishkan and it was running, it was operative, so then everything kind of surrounded the Mishkan and everything was equidistant to the Mishkan. And no one can have a claim that, oh, my degel, my flag, my camp, my group, my platoon or my unit, whatever you want to call it, is more chashiv, is more special and more important than any other group in Klal Yisrael. So everyone is important. Everyone is equidistant to the Mishkan into the Torah. So yeah, you might be, you know, the mashal that the Chavach Chaim likes to give is, you might be the Air Force and I'm the Navy and you're the intelligence and everyone's important. We're all playing for the same team. We're all in it for Kvot Shemayim. And by camping out equidistant to the Mishkan, only then can the Jewish people be counted to show that no matter what dagel we have, we're all really part of Hashem's army. So Rav Mordechai Willig takes that idea, and connects it to the Friday night Zmiros. We say in Kol Mekadesh Shvi, anyone who is Mekadesh, who makes Shabbos, who makes Shvi, the seventh day holy, Kira'i lo, as fitting to it, right? So I think that's how many people translate it, to it meaning according to Shabbos. We have to be Mekadesh Shvi, Kira'i lo, meaning make Shabbos special as Shabbos should be. That's one way to understand it. However, Rav Willig Shlita notes that there's another way to really understand Kira'i Lo, and that's really according to him, meaning each person. All of us are Mekadesh, and not just Mekadesh, but are Mechabed Shabbos in a way that speaks to us. Right? We spoke a little bit about the menu last week. I'm not sure if I even made this point, but I think it's the Mishnah Berurah who says, in the context, I think it's talking about fish on Shabbos, he says, if fish doesn't speak to you, you don't have to have fish. You go based on what you enjoy eating, right? So we all are Mekadesh Shabbos in a way that speaks to us. And says Rav Willig, and where do you see that? Ish al machanehu v'ish al diglo. Each person is unique. We're all in our own machane, and more specifically, we have our own dega, we have our own flag, and we have different values, and we represent different things, and we bring different things to the table, literally and figuratively. And the idea is that we're supposed to be Mekadesh Shabbos in a way that speaks to us, and try to add and contribute our unique flavor to Shabbos Kodesh, which I think is a beautiful machshava on the Shabbos Zmiro. So I just want to introduce tonight's shir with that. Now, if we're talking about Zmiros on Shabbos, so of course there's a well-known minhag to sing Zmiros on Shabbos, and many of the classic Zmiros were composed by Gidole Rishonim, some of the great Mekubalim, or the great Achronim. It's clear whether Rishonim, Achronim, those who really put together the Zmiros, they had really, I would say, lofty machshavos and kavanos in mind, and it's a well-known idea, a well-known minhag to sing Zmiros. The question is, what's the purpose? What's the purpose of Zmiros on Shabbos? So the Menoras Or says the following. He says that the Lashon of Zmiros isn't just a Zemer or a Zimra as a song, but there's a pasuk in the Torah, Lo Sizmor, to not prune or to not weed. We know in Hilchos Shabbos that there is a malach of Choresh, of plowing, and there's a malach of Zorea, which is planting. And it's not just planting, putting a seed in the ground, but doing anything that fosters or cultivates plant life, anything that's going to cultivate growing, which is why some people talk about opening the window shades and opening up the windows with the kavana that is supposed to help your plant, or I don't know, your orchid that's, you know, on the windowsill or whatever it is, right? Fine. So lo sizmor is the isser not to prune. Sometimes by cutting away the certain branches, the certain leaves, it enables the tree or whatever it is to grow more. I'm not an expert farmer, but take my word for it. Anyway, that being said, so the Menoras Or suggests that that's what Zmiros are. And he says the following. Shekashim shahamizmor, sorry, hamizamer begifanim yikotz kol azimuros v'yaniach masheroi l'ratev, meaning he cuts away all the things that he wants to rot, he takes away all the bad things, which enables the plant life to grow. Kacha zimiros, sha'anu omrim kodim hatfila, when we sing, so it's Yasiru v'yikotzu kol ha'michsholos v'ha'avonos shi'esh lanu lefnei Hashem. Meaning, by singing Zmiros, so it allows us to connect in a certain way to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It enables us to connect to Him in a little bit more of an intense way. And again, through reciting, whether it's mamish just reading the words or singing them in a real way, one can remove all these different impediments that are preventing us from connecting to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the Tfilos. And we know that fundamentally, that the Zmiros that we sing on Shabbos, it's not just at the Shabbos table, but we know the Zmiros are found in Psukei Dezimra. We know Shabbos davening is longer. Psukei Dezimra specifically is longer because we add so many Zmiros. We add many Zmiros to the Tefillah in davening. So by perhaps the Zmiros that we sing on Shabbos, it enables us to connect to Him more. Shabbos is a day like we started many, many months ago. A day where we run to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the Zmiros are something that enables us to do this. Now, why is it that we have it all over? You know, it's not found in the Shulchan Aruch necessarily to sing Zmiros. It's not, you know, super clear. But if you look around in a lot of different places, so it's clear that Zmiros were a very prominent role. They played a prominent role in Shabbos, or on Shabbos specifically. And this goes all the way back. There's a Medrash that's quoted in Maseches Sanhedrin. A Tosos in Maseches Sanhedrin, Adaf Lamed Zayin Amabez, says that there are certain malachim we're not allowed to sing Shira on Shabbos. So they're not allowed to sing Shira on Shabbos, but the Medrash says that we take the place of those malachim, meaning we add to our regular tfilos, extra zemiros, in order to kind of make up for that which the malachim are not singing. That's why the Or Zeruah points out, we add in Psukei Dezimra, we specifically add not just there's a Pesuk Yedizimra, but specifically Nishmas Kolchai we sing, and we sing Hakol Yoducha and Kel Adon in Birchas Kriyashma, right before Birchas Kriyashma, and we add a lot to the tefillah itself. Now, the allusion to singing during our meals specifically, and not just in general on Shabbos during tefillah, is actually found in a Gemara in Megillah. I came across this when we were doing Megillah and Daf Yomi, and Rabbi Leibowitz quotes this Gemara as well in his Sefer, and that's the following. The Pasuk is being darshaned in Mesechus Megillah. If you've ever learned the Masechta, and it's a fun thing to do before Purim, at least these like 5-6 blot. But about 5 blot in Masechus Megillah go through many, many, many psukim in the Megillah, and they darshan them, they explain it. You know, that's where a lot of the stories that we know as, like, you know, Vashti and Esther and Green and Tales and all the crazy and all the, not crazy, but all the fun stories. You know, it's all found in the Gemara's there. But in the context, over there, it says, Bayom Hashvi, Kitov Lev HaMelech Biyayin. So what's going on there? The Gemara says, what exactly is Pshat B'Yom HaShevi'i? So the Gemara says, Yisrael on Shevi'i, meaning on Shabbos, what do? Ochlin v'shosin. We eat and we drink. Mitchilin b'divrei Torah u'b'divrei tishbachos. But when we eat and when we drink, what do? We start our meals with divrei Torah and with song. Divrei tishbachos. Aval avodas kochavim, meaning the non-Jewish people. Ochlin v'shosin. In maschilim ela b'divrei tiflos. When they're eating and drinking, they start off with, you know, types of talk that's not so befitting. A Shabbos table, say, talking about inappropriate things or promiscuous things, and it's not the type of Shabbos table that we would necessarily envision. And not only that, the Zohar is pretty explicit that Jews would sing during the Shabbos meal, specifically, he writes, during the Shabbos daytime meal. Shabbi Yom HaShabbos, Yesh Lezamer B'Shasa Se'uda, he writes. And he talks about being ma'orer oneself. Utzrichen lehit ara shira, v'chedva lepetura lagaba. Meaning somehow we're ma'or ourselves, you kind of awaken yourself, you connect yourself to a Kadosh Baruch Hu through the Zmiros that we sing. So we see already that there's a long-standing idea to sing Zmiros at the Shabbos table, it means Shabbos in general during Tefillah, but more specifically during the meal itself. The Shir HaShirim Rabbah, the Medrash in Shir HaShirim says when the Jewish people would eat and they would drink, they were always makbid to be mevarchin u'mishabchim u'mikalsin laHakadosh Baruch Hu. They would always praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu with their voices. Now it's interesting, what's the significance on a halachic level of Zmiros? So there's an idea that we speak about, maybe are familiar with, I should say, from Hilchos Chanukah. Something I spoke to, I remember speaking to my class about this a couple weeks ago, whatever it was, by Chanukah time. But there is no chiv to have a suda on Chanukah. There's no, just like, you know, Purim we have a Suda, and Yom Tov we have a Suda. Chanukah, there's no chiv to have a Suda. There's an idea that's talking about having a Marba, being Marba in your Suda, but it's not considered a Suda's Mitzvah. However, the Ramah over there adds, though, that even though Riboy Suudos, having more or abundant meals, is, you know, it's up to you, it's optional, he says, Nohagin Lomar Zimiros V'Sishbachos B'Suudos Shemarbim Behem Va'az heve su'udas mitzvah. He says, once you sing sishbachos to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu through song, all of a sudden, it becomes a su'udas mitzvah. Now, Rabbi Leibowitz mentioned, this is really interesting actually, he said, when does that halacha ever become halacha l'maisa? Meaning, okay, it's a cute idea, but who actually cares? No, I shouldn't say it like that. Meaning, okay, very nice, so it's a su'udas mitzvah, therefore what? Meaning, l'may nafkamina. So Rabbi Leibowitz actually said that a couple years ago when Chanukah and Thanksgiving coincided, he had the following shaila. He said a woman called him and said that night, meaning Motzai Thanksgiving, right? So it's Thursday night, right? They were going to have their Thanksgiving Suda Thursday afternoon. That night, Thursday night, was her Leil Tefillah. And there's an idea to not eat meat on the day you're going, or one's going to the mikvah, because you don't want to have any basar bein hashinam, you don't want to have any meat between your teeth. And this woman said, what do? Everybody in my family knows I love turkey. I'm the one who carves the turkey. Turkey's my favorite thing in the world. And then if they see that they bring the giant turkey to me at the Thanksgiving Suda, and I pass on it, everyone's going to say, what's going on? And then it's going to be uncomfortable. What do? So Rabbi Leibowitz basically ended up paskening, you know, based on a number of reasons. Some poskim say basar oaf doesn't count, and others, but more fundamentally, there are those who say for a sudas mitzvah, it's different. Maybe you're allowed to have basar if it's a sudas mitzvah. And therefore, he said, you know, connecting these things, if you sing, because it's Chanukah, If you sing all of a sudden your Thanksgiving Suda isn't just a Thanksgiving Suda, but all of a sudden it becomes a Sudas Mitzvah because you're singing and it's Chanukah, so your Shiros V'Sishbachos turn the meal into Sudas Mitzvah, and that was the Eitzah he gave this woman. If you make sure you sing some Chanukah Negunim and singing, you know, Sishbachos to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, all of a sudden it becomes a Sudas Mitzvah and you're good to go. So I thought that was a nice little idea that comes from that. Now, there's another idea in terms of why we sing Zmiros on Shabbos, and that's the following. The Eliyarabba quotes the Rokeach, who said that they used to sing after dessert. Or I should say it like this. They used to sing before dessert. They would have their meal, they would sing, and then they would have dessert. So why would they do that? So if you look at the Rokeach inside, it's a chap that he has. What would they do? You know, sometimes on a short Shabbos in the winter, you want to have your Shalashuddas. But you didn't cheshbon, you didn't think about it, you didn't have Kiddush early in the morning, and now you have your regular lunch meal at 12:30, 1 o'clock, and you're so full that you don't want to have Shal Shuddas, you know, right before Mincha. So it says the Rokeach, if you sing, so that creates a hefsik, that's a sufficient hefsik, to now allow the dessert to count for your Shal Shuddas, and that would be okay. Right? We're familiar that sometimes a hefsik breaks it up, like we see at a wedding, under the chuppah, after the Kiddushin. Very often they read the ksuva. They don't need to read the ksuva. They could read anything, really. They could do anything, but, you know, it's a nice thing to do. It has to do with the wedding, I guess. It fits. But you want to create some sort of hefsik, some sort of time lapse between the kiddushin and the nisuin, and that's something that we're familiar with. So that says the Rokeach. That's what we're doing in the context of Zemiros, that we want to, maybe one can, and people maybe do this, let's say when Erev Pesach falls out on Shabbos and you're trying to make sure you have your meals earlier on in the day, to sing to break up the meal. So that's a little bit in terms of the precedent for Zemiros. I'll share one last idea on this in terms of the significance, or just how special they are, and that's the following. The Yesod Shoresh V'Avoda says one should be exceptionally careful with regards to singing Zmiros on Shabbos, and he says it's specifically because that's how we're mechabed HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If we read the words, if we're careful with the words, so then you recognize just how special they are and what we mean by them, right? This is the Art Scroll Bencher over here. I highly recommend it. You know, many of us are familiar with a lot of the words because we've sang them, or we heard, you know, our families have sung them for many, many years. But maybe we're not as familiar with the meaning of them. First of all, if you're learning Hilchos Shabbos, so some of them are really beautiful, and you realize how much you understand, you know, from what we've learned, and how it's all woven into the Zmiros. But on a more fundamental level, it's really praising HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I heard, I don't know if anybody's familiar with this podcast, Behind the Bima, Rav Ephraim Goldberg and his team in Florida, in Boca. It's a fun podcast to listen to. They have fantastic guests. So they had Rav Jonathan Sachs on a long time ago, and I think they released a podcast of his on his Yartzeit, if I remember correctly. And in that podcast, they were talking about tefillah, and if he has any recommendations to enhance or boost one's kavana in the context of tefillah. And Rav Sachs, you know, it was almost like so obvious that we all miss it, but he said, if you actually just like stop and read the words slowly, you'll realize how special they really are. I remember one time I texted a friend. I have a good friend, Rabbi Andrew Israeli. He's a Rebbe in Frisch in New Jersey. He does a lot of special things. And I was always impressed with how he davened. So I once texted him. I said, hey, Andrew, you have any good etza for me for davening? And he sends me back a video. And it was just like, it was the page of the Siddur, and his finger was just on the place going from word to word. He didn't say anything. There's no text. But his point was, if you follow along each word inside and you don't run through davening, you'll realize you'll have a lot more kavana because you'll be paying attention to the words, and the words are really beautiful. You know, another one of my good friends once told me that he was davening in a Nusach Sfard minyan. So I don't know if anybody davens Nusach Sfard on the Zoom here. But Nusach Sfard, you know, the davening is a little bit different than Nusach Ashkenaz. And he said he was using a Nusach Sfard sitter, and he's like, wow, the words are beautiful. So he was telling this to a friend, and or was telling this to me and a couple other chevra. And one of the guys was like, you know, Nusach Ashkenaz is beautiful too. We just don't pay attention as much. Meaning that one time you're using a Nusach Sfarad Siddur, you have to be more careful to the, you know, paying attention to make sure you weren't skipping words or anything like that. So you realize all these beautiful words. He's like, if you pay attention to Nusach Ashkenaz as well, you realize that it's beautiful. But more in addition to this, let's say, the Sefer Beis Aaron of Karlin, the Rebbe of Karlin, says that the Hirhurei Tshuva that a person can experience or feel while they sing Zmiros on Shabbos, he says, are the highest levels of Hirhurei Tshuva, right? It not only does it elevate our Shabbos meal, meaning not only does it enhance it, and he calls confine their wings to the Shabbos Seuda and elevate it on to make it a very, very ruchni endeavor, but he says the hirhurei tshuva, the feeling, the regesh of tshuva that we sense or that we experience in singing zmiros, so that's very special because it's a tshuva me'ahava. It's not me'ira, it's you're connecting to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you're being davak to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And taking it one step further, Rabbi Aryeh Leibowitz notes the Eish Lavram of Bechach. It's one of the important commentaries on the Shulchan Aruch Or HaChaim. So he writes in the back over there that he says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gets a tremendous nachas ruach from us enjoying Shabbos. Hashem gave us Shabbos as a gift, and He wants us to take advantage of that gift. And He says, through our singing, right, not just the mitzvos, so to speak, that we do, right, the learning and the davening and shul, but having a nice suda and enjoying the suda, so Hashem thinks that's amazing. And He says, dafka, through our singing, right, it elevates us, it lifts our moods, and because of that, so says the Eish Lavram, that's something we should definitely do, because if we're going to have a geshmak from it, so Hashem is going to get a geshmak from it too, and Hashem's going to have an achas ruach. And he says, he goes even as far as to say, that even if you're going to be doing it, shelo l'sheim shemayim, meaning you're not some person who loves singing and you connect to the words and you just, it's a beautiful niggin. It's a nice tune or it's an upbeat tune and you like it and it's a geshmak. So says the Eish Lavram, you should do that. Because Hashem gets an achas ruach from us having a good time on Shabbos. When we enjoy Shabbos, when we enjoy the gift that He gave us, there's no greater nachas ruach to Him. Every person wants to see, right? If you give a gift to someone, you want to see the recipient use it. If you give the little kid a birthday present and he just throws it on the floor, throws it on the couch and goes to play with something else, it's chaval. When you see him playing with it, then it's a geshmak. So Hashem gets a geshmak from us enjoying Shabbos. Fine. So that's really part number one in terms of background in Zmiro Shabbos. Any questions, comments up until here? No. Okay.
Sorry. I didn't get it to press unmute in time. What if someone really doesn't like singing or has a really bad voice?
That's an awesome question. I was thinking about that like kind of this entire time. So I don't know. Rav Aryeh Leibowitz mentioned this actually. He was saying that he was connecting to Zmiros a lot more over Corona. Because there wasn't any company, and he was less embarrassed. He said his family's not so musical, and it's an opportunity to sing. I know people who read the Bencher. They don't sing it. I enjoy singing, so I sing some of them, but I know people definitely read it, and I think it's almost like it's a book of tefillah, even if you're not singing it. You know, almost like if you go to a wedding, and you know how they have those things published, like the tefillos b'shas ha'chuppah, so it could be you can sing them if you're musical and you want to put a niggin to it, but there's something beautiful just reading the words. And I think I would even say, and I can totally hear this, that if we just read the Zmiros once, you know, if we took one Shabbos to not sing it but just to read it, I think that would be incredibly meaningful because then you get to see the words. So I think there is what to say in terms of not just singing it but even reading the words themselves. Again, maybe if you don't enjoy hearing your voice or your siblings' or voice or something like that, so then maybe that takes away from the geshmak of it, and then, you know, maybe, you know, based on the Eish Lavram that we just said, it wouldn't be such a geshmak for Hashem because we're not enjoying it. But to read the words, I think there's definitely precedent, and I think it's definitely something significant to do. Fine. So one, yeah, of course. So one thing I want to cover now is what about saying Shem Hashem in the context of Zmiros? Right, we know there's an Isser of saying HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name in vain. We know it's from the Aseret HaDibros, L'sisa Hashem Hashem Elokecha L'ashav. And there's already a discussion of whether saying a bracha l'vatala constitutes the Isser of L'sisa. Meaning, if I just say, Baruch Atah Hashem Ekinu Me'ach Olam Shehakol Nihyeh Bedvaro, that is true, that's a fact. But does it count as saying Hashem's name in vain? It's a bracha l'vatala, shouldn't have said it. But does it constitute Hashem's name in vain because itaka is true? So that's already a big discussion. We're not going to get into that. But we know Zmiros aren't even a bracha. So is it okay to say different Mizmorim or Zmiros that have Shem Hashem in them? So the truth is that we already have a precedent in certain places to say a Kaddish Baruch Hu's name, even if it's not in the context of a bracha. The Shulchan Aruch tells us that it's mutter to say Hashem's name if you're teaching children how to say brachos, right? Very often, you see people, this is going to be kind of tricky to do now, but bear with me, right? You see people with a young child, they say, Baruch, Baruch, Atah, Atah, Ado, Shem, right? They don't say the full Shem Hashem, and then the kid starts saying Ado Shem. It's like, no, say Ado, right? It gets confusing. For the purposes of Chinuch, you're allowed to say Shem Hashem, and so you should say Shem Hashem, and again, that's not in the context of a bracha. The Shari Tshuva quotes of Yonasan Eibshitz, who says saying Shem Hashem in the context of learning would be okay. Like if the Gemara quotes a bracha, So you're allowed to read that bracha in the Gemara. And not only that, Rav Yonasan Eibshitz says that if you're learning and the Gemara or the Medrash quotes a pasuk, so again, you can read that pasuk with Shem Hashem. The Taz tells us that on Yom Kippur, right, the Chazan is allowed to say Lifnei Hashem Titaru. He doesn't say Hashem, but he says Ado, right? He says the whole word. And we're allowed to say Kadosh, 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 Hashem Tzivakos. And that's the context of Tefillah and Tachanunim. That would all be okay. And perhaps because of those, it would be appropriate to say Shem Hashem in the context of Zmiros, because again, we're praising HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That being said, there is a halacha that if one forgets Yala Vyavo in benching, so they should add it to the harachaman at the end of benching, like we do if one forgets al hanisim, right? So we know at the end of benching, there are different things that you can add, and one of the things that you can add is the harachaman for forgetting al hanisim. So there's an idea to add yala v'yavo there. However, the Rama doesn't like it, and he says because yala v'yavo has shem hashem in it, and because of that, we shouldn't say it. Because there's an Isra of Lo Sisa, because we're saying Shem Hashem outside the context of the bracha that was initially instituted by Chazal. Fine, so that's the Rama, and he says that if it's not in the quote proper place, in the context of the bracha, it's not okay. That's the Rama. The Ber Halacha comes along and disagrees, quoting others. I think the Big Day Yesha, specifically, he quotes, yes, quoting the Big Day Yesha, who says, no, the reason the Rama was so machmir there was because the person thinks he's being yotze, he's fulfilling his chiv of the bracha of yala v'yavo. So it would only be a problem to say Shem Hashem if your kavana is actually latzeis yedei chovaso. So again, we have like a little bit of a disagreement here. It's not such a clear-cut thing. There's definitely room to say that if it's not in the context of a bracha, it's still okay. We have precedents throughout halacha in the poskim that you can say Shem Hashem. And then we have this very Harif Ramah who says, whoa, be careful. If it's not in the context of the specific bracha, you should stay away from it. Rav Shechter Shlita writes in his Sefer Nefesh HaRav, where he goes through many of the Minhagim and a Piskei Halacha of Rav Soloveitchik, and he says the Rav would be very careful not to say Shem Hashem in Zmiros. Rather, he would say Hashem, just like you and I are saying it right now. And that was really very much based on the Rama that we just quoted. Rav Nevinsal Shlita says it's really okay to say Shem Hashem, but he has a caveat. He says this in his Sefer Yerushalayim B'Moadeha, and he says that you have to make sure that you finish the inyan or the sentence. Meaning, don't stop in the middle of the phrase after you said Shem Hashem. Make sure you say the entire sentence, the entire stanza or line or whatever it is. You have to be careful with that. I've heard B'Shem Rav Willig, I don't think I've heard Rav Willig say this, but I've heard B'Shem Rav Willig, two things. First of all, it's okay to say Shem Hashem in Zmiros, but number one, it should be the first time the niggin or the line is sung, but it shouldn't be repeated. So, I don't know what different tunes people use here, but for the words Chazdei Hashem Kilo Samnu, so for the first time you can say Hashem's name, and then if you're repeating it, so then you just say Chazdei Hashem Kilo Samnu, just like we're saying it right now, without actual Shem Havaya, number one. Number two, I thought this was kind of interesting, he said if they're young children at the table, right, if you have your kids running around or running under the table or throwing chalon everywhere, right, so maybe best to not say Shem Hashem, because it could be you say Shem Hashem and all of a sudden you get hit with a fistful of chalon or something like that, and you have to stop singing in the middle of the thing, in the middle of the line, and all of a sudden you stopped in the middle, kind of like what Rav Nevinsal was worried about. So again, you have different poskim on each side of the fence there. Fine. Let's just look at the chat for a second. Yeah, so a request to mention the names of the authors of the book. So the first one, just that idea we mentioned about the Isha Machanehu, that was just from Rav Willig, from Mordechai Willig's Sefer called Am Mordechai, his Sefer on Shabbos. In the introduction, he has that idea on that Zemer that we sing, related to the way the Jewish people camped in the Midbar. That was number one. And most of the shir is coming from the Sefer HaKone Olamo, Rav Ari Leibowitz's new Sefer. The YU Sfarim sales now. They have everything available online. I'm a big fan of it. Highly recommend it. And I would imagine Rabbi Leibowitz's Sefer is there, all three volumes of it. Fine. Let's move on just to the last topic. The last topic is singing Zmiros in the context of women. I remember, not just context of women, I shouldn't say it like that. Men and women sitting around the Shabbos table. I remember when I was in seventh grade, this is going back a while, I just remember it like, it it was like an interesting thing because I don't think I ever had thought about it up until that point. But my Rebbe, Rabbi Yankelevich, now that name might be familiar, Rebbetzin Pearl Gross, Rabbi Gross's wife, Rabbi Reuven Gross's wife, is a Yankelevich. Her father was a Rosh Yeshiva in YU. He was a Talmud of the Chavetz Chaim. He literally was like, he learnt in Radin, shook the Chavetz Chaim's hand. So his son, Rabbi Gross's brother-in-law, was my 7th grade Rebbe. And I remember Rabbi Yankelevich telling us that they used to always host guests for Shabbos, but once a month they would have a Shabbos, just family, so that his daughters can sing at the table. And I remember thinking, like, that's such a funny thing. Like, I would have thought, and maybe it is, meaning to have, like, a family Shabbos. But, like, the way he said it was, like, no, so that our daughters can sing. They all have lovely voices, but when they're hosting different people, whatever it is, so they don't sing at the Shabbos table, or they don't sing as loudly at the Shabbos table. And because of that, they want to have one Shabbos a month where his daughters could really belt it out. Now, Rabbi Leibowitz quotes a tshuva of the Chassam Sofer. The Chassam Sofer says that he was concerned certain women singing from the Ezras Nashim. Again, I don't know how it was situated in Hungary by the Chassam Sofer, or wherever the tshuva was coming from, or I should say the Shiloh was coming from, but he was concerned that the women might be singing too loudly in the Ezras Nashim, because they're concerned that if they're singing too loudly, a guy's going to hear it in the Ezras, or not the Ezras Anashim, I don't know what you call it, in the shul, I guess, in the men's section, we'll say, right? And they're going to have different hurim. We know the Gemara tells us that the voice of a woman is considered an erva, and because of that, a man shouldn't have any sort of hurim ra'im in the context of tefillah when they're saying Kriya Shema or Shmona Esrei. And we have to be careful. Now, there's a well-known tshuva. I think it's a well-known tshuva. Although, honestly, I didn't see it inside until I started preparing this year. I just heard it quoted a million times. Because if you work in the context of NCSY, which Baruch Hashem, I did. I had the privilege of spending many, many Shabbatonim with NCSY. I did Central East. My friends, when I was in YU from Chicago, made fun of me that I did Central East and not Midwest. Because Midwest is the best, they say, and that's where Chicago is. Okay, fine. Okay, but I married Chicago and I live here now. So I guess I did some sort of tshuva. But If you spend some time in NCSY, there's a tshuva of the Sri Dei Ish. The Sri Dei Ish has a tshuva where he discusses men and women singing together. He says the following. He says that the Gedolei Ashkenaz, which are the German Gedolim, were Bekiyim Umumchim Bechachmas HaChinuch. Just those words are very cool. They were experts. They really understood Chinuch. L'chein hetzlichu b'maseim l'hakim doro shleimim shabali yir shemayim haskala chilonit ke'echad. They were able to help young people have yir shemayim, teach them Torah in the face of the haskala. And they were getting educated, and still at the same time, they were able to hold on to their Torah values, maintain their Torah values in their yir shemayim. Mashalo ala bidei ge'one gedolei lita in Poland. But in Eastern Europe, they weren't as successful. In Poland and Lithuania, they weren't as successful in doing that. Why? Amazingly, he says, because they didn't have the same understanding or ability to almost like connect to the times, or understand the times, understand the children of the times, whatever. Again, I feel like that's like a loaded sentence that could for sure be taken out of context, but they didn't get the times, whatever that really means. And he says something amazing. He quotes from Yisrael Salanter. He says, there's a well-known story, it's Yadua, that Yisrael Salanter came back from Germany, and there he met Hagon HaTzadik Rav Azriel Hildesheimer, and he saw how he was giving shiurim in Tanakh and Shulchan Aruch. He was giving halacha shiurim and enach shiurim to women, lifnei noshim tzi'irot ubesulos, not just older women, but younger women. He was teaching them Tanakh and halacha. And he says, im yavo mi me rabbonei lita lahanhig kin ba'adaso. He says, if anybody from Lita was doing this, or if anybody from Lita saw this, they would have said, like, what is going on here? He says, Mikol Malkom, says Yisrael Salanter, Halavai Shiyeh Chelki Began Eden, next to Rav Azriel Hildesheimer. He says, Halavai, this is Yisrael Salanter saying, look at what he was doing. Look how he understood what the generation needed. Look how he went out and taught women Torah, taught them halacha, taught them nach. But Atam Hu Mishom, Eis Lasos Lashem, Hefirus Versach, he understood what they needed at the time to perpetuate Klal Yisrael. So skipping a little bit in the tshuva, to our point now, he says, Umashe nohagim l'shir l'zamer zemiros kodesh banim ubanos yachad. Aye. And you see they have these chevra singing together, the boys and the girls are singing together. He says, I myself, says the Sri Deish, I didn't understand this. I was very much perplexed by it. And when I went to Berlin for the first time, and I went to the shuls there, and I saw the boys and girls singing together Zmiros Kodesh b'Shabbos, Vishnomamti, I was speechless. I didn't know what was going on. And he says, after all, the Shulchan Aruch tells us, Shekol Zemer Isha b'Shas Kriyishma Aser, to hear the voice of a woman while saying Kriyishma, or saying Devarim Shebikdusha, so that's an Isser. And he says, because of this, I was very much like disturbed by this, and I was looking into the sugya a lot. He says, however, after I did a lot of chakir and jerish, I was looking into the sugya, and I was looking around, and I found that Hagon HaTzadik, Rav Hildesheimer, and not just Rav Hildesheimer, but Rav Hirsch also, in Frankfurt, were matir, they allowed Zmiros Kodesh, they allowed the boys and the girls to sing together. And primarily based on the following idea, it's a Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, Trei kala lo mishtamoi, that two voices together cannot be heard, meaning when two people sing together, you can't distinguish who is who. The Gemara there says, and this is a nice little Purim sugya that maybe we'll touch upon, but the Gemara there distinguishes three things. It says shofar, halal, and megillah. You can have multiple people singing or reading or blowing shofar, and you can pay attention. The Gemara says because there's a special chavivos, an affinity towards to the halal or to the megillah or to the shofar. And I feel like, this is my own parenthetical now, is that I wonder out loud what the connection or the relationship between shofar on Rosh Hashanah, halal that we sing, and the megillah that we read, what's the common denominator there? That's some food for thought, and maybe you'll have a nice thing to say on Purim, and I'm going to work on that too as well, Bli Nether. But anyway, they say that when many boys and many girls are singing together, so you can't really differentiate between who is who. And based on that, and not just that, the Sri Deish quotes the Stechemed, who also was Matir. He says, you have Gedolei Olam, who say it's okay for men and women to be singing together. However, again, like we said, this all comes back to the Shulchan Aruch. The Shulchan Aruch says that there are those who should be careful. Mishmias kol zemer isha b'shas kriyishma. You have to be careful from hearing a woman sing by saying kriyishma, when you're saying kriyishma, when you're saying Devarim Shep Kedusha. And the thing is, the Rama adds, v'afilu b'ishto. Whoa. Aval kol haragil bo eno erva, but a voice that you're familiar with, that you're accustomed to, so that's not considered erva. Now, the big question is, what do you define kol haragil? What's considered a voice that you're accustomed to? So the Ateres Tzvi, which is one of the commentaries on the side of the Shulchan Aruch there, says, no, if your wife sings, that's considered a voice that you're accustomed to, and you don't have to be worried for that. And that's also what the Shulchan Aruch says. He says, not just, you know, your wife speaking or someone who you hear frequently speak, not just that sort of voice, but even when they're singing in a melodious fashion, if you're accustomed to that and you hear that in the house, that shouldn't be a problem. That's not a problem either. And there are those who are on that side of the fence to say that you're allowed to sing with someone who you're related to, someone that you're used to hearing, someone in the family. However, there are those, the Kovetz Halachos, or Shmuel Kamenetsky Shlita, one of the leading poskim on the Moetzes of America, I think, one of the Gedolei HaPoskim in America. He's a little bit more machmir. And others are machmir as well. Rav Shturmach comes along, and he has a tshuva where he comes along and he says that, you know, for a katana, it's for sure okay. For a gadola, meikar adin, it's okay, but maybe it's something to be careful about. Rav Yashiv was a little bit more machmir. Again, you have gadolim on both sides of the fence in this case. When you have men and women sitting together, I think Rabbi Teitz, Rabbi Leibowitz quoted that Rabbi Teitz's daughters said that they used to sing at the table even when they had, you know, gadolim came to Rabbi Teitz for Shabbos. Rabbi Teitz, one of the, you know, the earlier Gedolim in America, one of the greatest Marbitze Torah of his generation, he gave a Yiddish Gemara Shir on the radio that hundreds of people listened to, apparently. People who were not religious anymore, who came over after the war, but it brought them back to, like, it was very nostalgic to hear the Yiddish, to hear the Gemara. They would listen. So his daughters say that they used to sing at the Shabbos table. So you have people on both sides of the fence. So in terms of Halach Lamaisa, you know, we don't have, like, a clear-cut thing. When it comes to saying Shem Hashem, you have poskim who say it's okay. Rav Soloveitchik was very anti saying Shem Hashem in the context of Zmiros. Not only that, when it comes to women singing, so you have poskim say it's okay. You have poskim say it's not the best thing to do. Again, I think the bottom line is probably because you kind of have this parody almost. We'll say that you know, probably whatever you're doing, whatever your minhag is, whatever your custom from your family is probably what you should be doing. You know, it's probably okay. And because that's your family minhag, that's something that you should probably continue doing. And we should always take delight in Shabbos, sing the Zmiros in Shabbos, connect to Shabbos, and understand that Hashem wants us to take delight in Shabbos as well. So that'll be it for tonight. I think next week is supposed to be the last of the semester, Mirtz Hashem. We're going to be talking about Chal Shudas. After Shal Shuras, maybe we'll talk more about Malav Amalka, Havdalah, and then maybe Amir La'akum. We'll see what happens after we finish the semester. But next week, Mirtz Hashem, I'll see everybody here Monday, 8 o'clock, for Shal Shuras. Everybody have a fantastic rest of your week.